Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live this morning, Kitchen Notes, inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick, Braden, D-Mace, Marquise, big final hour coming up. We've got our picks coming up at 9:30, the big finish at 9:45. Also, some of the college football this weekend as well.
I'm honestly more excited about the awkward sauna story than I am about discussing Marcus Mariota and Rishard Matthews.
Yeah.
I mean, I am, but
you want awkward sauna story first?
No, let's save the sauna story.
Okay.
Let's save it.
Okay, it's good. Trust me. Stick around. We'll get to it. Rishard Matthews, though, yesterday, obviously, on with Darren Donick and Chase, really good get for them. And it makes sense to have him on because he obviously played for Marcus Mariota and the Titans, also played with Ryan Tannehill in the Miami Dolphins. Take a listen to what Rishard Matthews had to say about Marcus Mariota.
He loves being a leader, but, you know, in high school and college, you can be that silent leader. But when you get in the league, like, you're around grown men. You got to demand greatness from grown men. They got to be able to, you know, see that every day and not just, you know, every now and then. But, you know, at the end of the day, the quarterback has to be a leader of the team. He has to be vocal. He can't be forced to be vocal, you know, and I think that's kind of what's hurt Marcus a little bit, you know, is having that chemistry. Some people aren't, you know. They're not meant to do that, you know, and I'm not saying like Marcus isn't meant to do that, but like, you know, I mean, he has that cool, calm, collective personality, you know, which is good, and there's nothing wrong against it. It's just he's so respected that nobody wants to keep it real, you know, everybody's afraid to be real with him, and, you know, sometimes I think people are forced in situations to kind of baby him along the way, but I think that it's just tough for people to be that real with such a respected, cool guy. I mean, he's cool. I mean, you know, you don't want nothing bad, but at the end of the day, you're in his business to win.
So he goes on there to say that, you know, people don't keep it real with Marcus and they baby him because he's such a nice guy and they like him. And that's a conversation we've had on this show. Like, you don't need to quantify or qualify something by saying, you know, Marcus is a really good guy. I like Marcus, but he was terrible this past Sunday. But if that was an approach, and I'm just thinking out loud here, if that's an approach the Titans had with him, that maybe they didn't criticize him enough or work with him enough because he's such a nice guy, does that bother you?
Oh, well, listen, if you don't want any of your favorite athletes or players on any team in any locker room to not be able to handle the truth, like that's not how adults work, right? Like you need to be able to be told and accept criticism, feedback, coaching, and that goes for every walk of life. Like you know, listen, we get coached on this show, and somebody says, "Hey, Brent, you need to do this or this better." If you can't tell me those things, then I'm not going to be a good teammate or employee. So I think that part of it is terrifying. Now, Rishard Matthews also hasn't been in the locker room for, you know, it's
2 years.
I mean, he was the beginning of last season. He was in the locker room barely for a couple of weeks. So, and he wasn't really ever with the team during training camp. He was kind of off on the side. So it's not like, you know, during the most struggling, like the last year and some change is where he's really struggled the most. Rishard Matthews wasn't around in the locker room, so he doesn't know if Taylor Lewan said something to Marcus or whatever. But if that's true, that's terrible. That's just something you can't have. The other part of that equation is, can you be a leader in the NFL or any professional sport and sort of be quieter? I mean, Roman Yossi would fall into this category, right? And I think you can. I just think you have to be really good on the field or on the ice or on the court if you're going to be a quiet, sort of more stoic style of leader. I don't think you have to be a vocal screamer to be a good leader. You might need that on defense, Ray Lewis or Ed Reed. You may need that other counterpart on the other side, but I don't think you have to be a screamer to be a great leader. But you sure as hell be able to take some criticism, because if you can't do that, then you're not cut out for it.
Well, the quarterback position is a unique position because, you know, it's a fragile sort of speak position. And you've seen this across the board. It's not just Marcus. And it's not just this year. It's been years prior with quarterbacks other than Marcus where they handle quarterbacks a lot different than they would handle, you know, a receiver or a running back because that position entails a lot. But even with that, you still should be able to be honest with your quarterback if he's not playing well. And he should be able to take that constructive criticism and want to get better. Now, whether they choose not to criticize Marcus because he's a quote-unquote nice guy, now that's a problem because the bottom line is winning football games. You could be a nice guy. If you're not winning football games, I can't have you on my team. And that's it's sort of irritating because that's the only position where they take that approach. If Corey Davis not playing well, they're going to say Corey Davis is not playing well. If, you know, Jarrell Casey's not playing well, they're going to say, well, Jarrell Casey's not playing well. I think if you're going to do it with one, you should do it with all. I get it, the quarterback, but Marcus has been there. I kind of equate it to.
It's not like we're not critical of Marcus. Exactly.
I think we are more critical of him. We do a great job. This show do a great job. If he's playing well, we say he's playing well. If he's not playing well, then we're going to say he's not playing well. It's not that we have anything against him. We're just telling you how we see things based upon what he's doing on Sunday or Monday or Thursday. I equate this whole Marcus thing to either a relationship, whether it be friendship or a relationship, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. The first year, you're not, there's the pleasantries. You know, it's, I'm going to say the right thing. I'm not going to be completely honest. I'm going to hold back this and that because I'm trying to still get to know you. But then after the first year, the pleasantries are gone. Like, if you're doing something, I should be able to tell you, like, listen, that's wrong. You should respect me enough as a girlfriend or a wife or a friend to say, you know what? You're right. Yeah, let me do better.
Mine was like 6 months. We got married in August, and we were pregnant with Marin like in January. So the pleasantries went out the window the second we found out she was pregnant.
Exactly. And you should be able to say, after the first year, they should have been able to tell Marcus, like, this is what you're not doing right.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
You know, so you need to get better. And I don't know if it was ever that way. Now, we don't want them to go in public and kind of trash the guy. No, I don't want that. But you still want to be able to correct him and say, you need to play better.
I mean, obviously, it sounds like we're like the three best friends in the world, obviously, on the air. But, like, no, we have tons of disagreements and disputes, and we keep it in-house. Like, we keep it to our team, and we said, all right, if we have an issue with each other, we address that issue head-on. If it's with Nick or me or you, Derek, we address our issue, and we say, hey, this needs to be better, or we need to do that, or this is that. Like, we've got all kinds of things that we work on as a team, and this goes for every company in the world. You got to be able to be honest. But there has to be a respect level there, right? And so if there's a respect level with Marcus, which I think everybody has, it's almost like it's too much. You can't be in a place where there's too much respect. Now, this is like Rishard Matthews has also not been around the new coaching staff much. He was around the new coaching staff for a week and a half, right? So he has not been in the meetings with either Matt LaFleur, Mike Vrabel, or Arthur Smith with Marcus. So Rishard Matthews has not been in those meetings with how critical they have been of Marcus or not. Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith just pulled him off the field and are benching him for Ryan Tannehill. So they're clearly being critical of him. So I don't know, you know, if that's true, how much of it has he seen? Or was it true in the first 3 years? Because he was successful the first 3 years. Yeah. They got to the playoffs, had good numbers, you know, rising up the ranks, you know, whatever. Like, it just feels like an odd. And I like Rishard. I just think it's.
Well, I was actually going to say that.
It's an odd situation.
Bring it back to Matthews, because yesterday when the station was tweeting out the quotes Matthews was giving on the air, there were some people that were saying, wait, is this the same guy that quit on not just one but two teams in the last couple of years? Should we value Matthews' opinion when he left Tennessee and the Saints in the same fashion?
So I wouldn't say that I know him well, but I got a chance to work with Rishard Matthews a few times. I think there is an element of how much do you really know, because you haven't really been around this team or in that facility for over a year now, right? Like, so it's hard to. I think that it's important that we acknowledge that. I also think that Rishard Matthews is a fairly thoughtful, genuine person. I don't think that he is out here trying to get clicks or get attention or grow a media career or, you know, be inflammatory just for the sake of being inflammatory. I don't think that's the type of person he is. Like, especially with all the controversy with the anthem and his stepbrother dying in the line of duty and then deciding to stand up against the anthem. Like, he's a very thoughtful person. So I don't think he just kind of blabs. But he also hasn't been in the locker room for over a year. So he doesn't know how Arthur Smith communicates with Marcus Mariota.
I think it's based upon what he's seen when he was here. And listen, the notion of, oh, he quit on the team. I mean, what happens if they cut him? Do you then say, well, the organization quit on him? He was in a situation where he felt they were not using him. So he said, listen, release me. Let me go somewhere else. Release me. And they did it. So they could have kept him,
right,
and he would have kept playing.
Right.
But this notion, just because he wanted to leave the team, doesn't mean his view or his opinion isn't validated. He was in that locker room. He understands the first 3 years when he was here with Marcus, or the 2 years he was here with Marcus. He understands it. Just because he wanted to leave a team doesn't devalue what he has to say. And I know a lot of people, when he quit on the team, he quit. What happens when you cut him? I don't get that. So a GM could cut a guy and he's okay. But then when the guy says, listen, y'all not using me, let me go somewhere else.
It is different, though. I mean, it is, to me, as a player,
I know you see it differently. Because if you cut me or I leave, it is what it is. Obviously, I want to leave because you're not using me. And
true.
Then you cut me because you don't think that I am, up to the contract.
The number of players who turned down $7 million to play in the NFL, though, that's a small number of people.
But
I
can't tie.
But you
the money to he just didn't feel it. And
right,
I'm like,
right.
Cool, you didn't feel it, dude.
But it's like having a scholarship offer to Alabama. It's a very small percentage of humans that get that opportunity, and for someone to say, "No, I don't want that."
I can't knock him for it.
Right, but it's not a perfect analogy because you could get a scholarship somewhere else, right? But Rishard Matthews, for him to sit here and just say, I don't really like playing in this. Well, then you shouldn't have signed the extension a week earlier.
They shouldn't have gave him the extension.
I mean, I agree. So
615-737-1025. We'll come back. We'll get a couple of calls, a couple of people that want to jump in on the Titans conversation. You can climb in as well, 737-1025. And then since you've all been good boys and good girls, Uncle Nick's going to give you a sauna story.
That's disgusting. Don't ever tease that like that
hey,
again.
Did anybody call Andrew Luck
Don't
a quitter?
Don't ever do that.
A lot of Andrew people. Luck, I think, was a
no,
smart
a
man.
But a lot of people called him quitters.
Thank you.
A lot of people say he's
smart.
I'll tell you what.
Smart.
If Marcus said I'm retiring, I can't take it anymore, I would not call him a quitter.
That's also not what Matthews did. He didn't retire. He quit one team. It's a difference, right?
He quit two teams.
Well, then that's bad,
he said,
too.
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, but you know what?
When he retired, I don't have a problem with that. When you quit a team, that is a little different.
I'm going to walk away from my $7 million radio contract.
I don't blame
I've had
you.
Enough. Back after you. This. Aspiring broadcasters, take notes. This is how you do morning radio here in the city of Nashville. Listen, learn.
It is Friday night.
And conquer. Back in here live, Kitchen Notes, Omni Nashville Hotel, Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30. The big finish at 9:45. Let's get your Titans call, 737-1025. Rob is next on Morning Drive. Rob, you go ahead.
Oh, love that music. Bring back some memories.
Yeah.
But anyway. anyway, I was listening to you guys, and I thought I'd chime in about the Marcus situation. I've been hearing people talk about whether or not did the team do Marcus wrong or vice versa. Did Marcus do them wrong? Well, I'd like to just kind of chime in on that if you guys are still talking about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think the team did Marcus no justice by knowing, to me, that Marcus wasn't all that good, but wasn't going to make this team, like, after 5 years, because to me, it doesn't take that long to figure out whether or not, someone, that's a professional is going to be able to be a professional and be on that team. I think they kept him on that team and they pacified him because they liked him. It's no different to me than nowadays when parents have kids that are in school that are, like, participating, like in a field day, when they all are handing them out all the same ribbons. To me, I mean, you go out there, you compete, and you ought to be graded, and you ought to be, rewarded for whatever you do. That's all I got, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Maybe they did, and I don't know, maybe because of, them liking Marcus. Maybe they give him a longer leash. Maybe, I don't know. I do think they believed in his talent, and he's right. It shouldn't take 5 years to figure it out.
I think
they should have took after 2 or 3 years to figure out whether Marcus is the guy or not.
After 2 years, the decision would have been, this guy's clearly the guy.
And
after
then,
the third year, the decision would have been, this guy's clearly the guy. The city
just started
to
regress after that second year.
This is the NFL, and if you're a general manager, a head coach, an owner, you don't give anybody extra rope because you like them. I mean, this is the most bottom line of all business.
No, you're absolutely right. You shouldn't, but we've seen it.
I don't think it's happened with Marcus, though. I don't think that, like, he's benched right now. Like, he's benched in a contract year. This is the most critical
game. But I think they've come to a point now where it's like, okay, enough is enough.
But again, we forget so quickly. This guy torched the Eagles, torched the Patriots, torched the Cowboys. Those were three elite-level teams last year, and he torched them last year.
And then he played horrible in the rest of the
game. Because his body was broken. He had broken body parts literally all across his body. I don't think they knew. I don't think the Titans knew the answer to the question, do you believe in him long term? I don't think they – I am now coming around on the idea that they honestly didn't know in this offseason. Then he gets off to the start where they beats the Browns and he beats the Falcons and the number – he's the only starting quarterback in the NFL without an interception. And he's got a 100-plus quarterback rating. He's putting up numbers that are comparable with the best in the league. And then he has a terrible game and he's benched. And, again, I'm not saying it's the right or wrong move. I think it's the fine move. I don't have a problem with it. And it may be over for him long term with the Titans, but I just don't think it's as cut and dry as, oh, we knew all along he was terrible back to year two. Like, no, this city was celebrating him for years, for 2 or 3 years before the moment the fans turned on him was the Colts game last year. That was because the Titans said, hey, Marcus could play, we're not sure. And then they said on Friday, oh, he's not going to play. And I remember Stillman going off on Marcus not being tough enough and the city turning on him. That was the moment the city turned on him, was he wasn't available for them when they needed him against the Colts in Week 17. It's not to say that there wasn't inconsistency before that. Of course there was. But that's the moment that the city and the fans sort of said, oh, I don't know about this guy. Fair or unfair? Which I think it was unfair.
After year two, he started to regress as a quarterback. He won some games, and he played well in some games, and we could call the games out that he played well in. But for a guy you're going to make your franchise quarterback, I don't need to see inconsistent play. And that's what he gave me after year two.
What happened at the end of year two?
He got hurt.
He broke his leg.
But that was at the end. That was at the end.
He breaks his leg. He doesn't get an offseason to focus on, on becoming a quarterback the next year. So then he's inconsistent that year. And then what happens at the end of the next year? They fire their coach.
Again.
In this crazy dramatic situation. Again, I'm just saying none of it sets up for success.
Every guy in that locker room went through the same thing that Marcus did. The firing of the coach.
Offensive
coordinators. Yada, yada, yada. Go down the line. And some guys continue to play well and some guys haven't. And Marcus is one of those guys that hadn't played well.
Who's gotten better?
Who's gotten better?
Taylor Lewan hasn't gotten better. Ben Jones hasn't gotten better.
There are guys on that.
Conklin's gotten worse.
There are guys within that offense and within the defense that have gotten better, or they've stayed the same.
I put the defense.
Delanie
aside.
Walker has gotten better. Obviously, I think Corey Davis has gotten better. Now he can only catch what they throw to him.
I would agree with that.
Corey Davis has gotten better. Jonnu Smith has gotten better, but he dealt with an injury that kind of pushed him back. But he's gotten better.
Yeah, I agree.
Those are just skill. Derrick Henry has gotten better. So there are guys, even through the midst of all of this turmoil, that have gotten better. And the one guy that you expect to be one of those guys isn't one of those guys. So it's like, you know, enough is enough. I knew when they didn't sign him to a contract last year that he was done.
Right.
It was over with him.
I will say on a totally different note, I like listening to Rob talk when he calls in the show. He sounds like Atticus Finch. Like, he sounds like an old, like, 1930s lawyer. He's like, Justice and Marcus. And he sounds like Kevin Spacey from, like, A Time to Kill.
Called him Tamarhan, too.
Because there's a redneck accent, which is tough to listen to. And then there's, like, that southern draw, which, you know, we going to be in a courtroom on a trial today. And, like, it just sounds like he's a – I like it when Rob gives his call. I like that.
Little what'd you call Atticus Finch?
Atticus Finch, that's a To Kill a Mockingbird reference right there.
No relation to Sharif Finch.
High level. Jeez.
Just wanted to work that in there real quick, boys.
I could tell.
Yeah.
I could tell.
All right, big finish coming up in about 20. Our Morning Drive Pigskins picks against the spread coming up next. And also a little bit of news in the NFL that we have to get to regarding the Tennessee Titans.
I want a sauna story as well. But I've also got an equation for you that you're really going to like, and it all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. That equals Wi-Fi, awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all about the numbers. You can save up to $800 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And until October 27th, you could even get $250 back when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, and awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile, each for $30 a month. You'll get Internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a one-year agreement, and Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigs of shared data to go along with it. Go to Xfinity.com, save big, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Internet offer ends 10/27/19. New performance Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rate supply. Mobile savings compared to Verizon and AT&T plans. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Pigskin, pick 'em when we come back on Morning Drive.
Pigskin, pick 'em. Starts now. For entertainment purposes only.
Bumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Here we go.
That goes double for you knuckleheads. Yeah, you know who you are.
Let's go now. Let's go now.
Pigskin picks against the spread. Coming up in just a moment. Also, a sauna story. That was very awkward. But we do have some interesting news. I saw this right before we went to our last break. Music City Miracles, which is one of the Titans blog sites here in the city owned by SB Nation, reporting that the Tennessee Titans have reached out to the Dolphins about Kenyon Drake.
I like the player. He's an explosive player, good return guy. Obviously, he can catch the passes out of the backfield. It just seems like an odd commodity to be going after right now, although you probably could get him pretty cheap. You know, you have Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry. I like Kenyon Drake, the player. I think he's a good player. Good player. I just don't know. I don't know what, like.
That would mean.
I don't want to overspend for something you've already had.
That would mean Deion Lewis is gone. If they get Kenyon Drake, Deion Lewis is gone.
But what does that mean? At the end of the year, you're cutting him?
No, he's
him?
Gone.
Like, you're going to trade him?
Yeah. They're going to he's probably one of the guys you would make a trade for to get Kenyon Drake.
Okay.
They're not going to keep. They're not going to. Because they're both the same skill set. Drake's a younger, but they're both the same skill set.
Well, Lewis is probably a little better between the tackles, but Drake's more explosive.
Yeah.
Like, he
so
can
you
get
bring
out
him in, you trade away Lewis to Miami.
And but if you're Miami, why would you take a $15 million contract from Deion Lewis? Like, I don't understand
because
why
they'd just
do
cut
that.
Him at the end of the year. I mean,
yeah, maybe you're right.
You know, it's dead money to them.
As long as the cost is low, I like the player, Kenyon Drake, but why aren't you going after an offensive lineman? Like, why don't you bring in a depth piece on the offensive line? I don't know.
You think this is it for Roger Saffold this week at left guard? Maybe Dennis Kelly moves in after this week if it doesn't get
if
any better?
If it is, then that is crazy. A big indictment, yeah. A huge indictment on John Robinson and Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I agree.
So you guys want the sauna story?
Let's do that before picks, yeah.
Speaking of the offensive line, so I'm in the sauna yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of large dudes.
Where do you see this? Or where do you hear this? I'm in there by myself. It's me. I'm in there. You know, I got my bathing suit on that you guys love. I got my little slides on, the Under Armour sandal slides that you guys adore.
So you don't go you don't go just towel in the sauna?
No. Save that for old dudes.
Okay.
You know, I go a little bit more covered. Shirt is off, though, but I got a good
sweat
on.
I thank you for that, too. Right.
Got my little towel, my water bottle, my iPhone. I'm sitting there by myself, and in comes a very large individual.
Uh-huh.
He sits down.
Big Raj?
But it's in that vicinity. And I'm looking at him, and then he knows I'm looking at him.
Oh, that's weird.
So he lifts his head up and starts looking at me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'll be damned. I think this is Michael Orr, the former Titan, the former Raven, the Blindside kid from the old
Big Mike.
Big Mike. I'm like, I think this is Michael Orr. Uh-huh. So he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. It's very awkward.
Uh-huh.
So we both put our heads back down. Then Dr. Jason Chris from Chris Chiropractic comes walking in.
What?
Now I didn't know he goes to my gym either. So he comes in.
This is a potpourri of amazement.
This is. He's staring at me, and I'm looking at my phone, and I can feel him looking at me.
Are you looking up pictures of Michael Orr?
I am. I'm actually googling Michael Orr. I swear to God.
Because you're doing the old like to the tilt the phone to the side. Yeah. And you're like, is this Michael Orr? It is Michael Orr.
And I look up and I go, I think that's Dr. Jason Christ. And I know he's looking at me thinking, I think that's Nick Hale from Morning Drive. So now we got like this triangle of three different dudes all looking at each other like, I know you and you know me, but nobody wants to say anything. Uh-huh. So it's super awkward. So then I do confirm it's Dr. Chris later. I see him in the gym by the treadmill, talk to him, whatever. But I'm going back down after being on the treadmill, and Michael Orr, who I think is Michael Orr, is in the locker room, and I just walk up to him, and I go, Michael Orr? He goes, yep. I'm like, all right, cool, thanks.
Uh-huh. Nice you just walk, that's all you said to him?
Yeah.
You just walked away.
So all confirmations were made, but it was very odd.
So Nick had a nice steam yesterday with a client and a football player, exactly. And it was a three-way minor celebrity off.
Yeah. Like, and honestly, Michael Orr's lost probably 100 pounds. I bet he's only
about
240.
Was it a stare-off?
Yeah, but he won it.
Oh, okay.
Well, of course. Yeah. He's the biggest person in the room, I would
assume. Exactly. Yeah. But I still think to this day, Michael Orr at 240 pounds might be better than Big Raj.
Yeah, I would say so.
you might be right.
So there's your sauna story of the day.
All right. Oh, wow. Pigskin Pick'em. Here we go, boys.
We already played the intro.
Oh, we already did the intro?
We came back from it.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Here we go, boys. Pigskin Pick'em.
Yeah, we already played that, Brandon. I know you're waiting to talk, but, you know, listen to the intro sometimes.
Marquise. 11-3 on the week last week, folks.
Wow.
We had
a great week.
We may never have bragged about this segment ever before, but we're damn sure going to brag about it now because we went 11-3 last week. Nick, you went 3-0 last week. D-Mace went 5-1 last week.
Woo!
I went 4-2 last week.
Yes.
D-Mace in the lead at 17-13 on the season. Derek, you go first, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Kent State.
The Flashes.
Versus Ohio. Let the music play. Let the music play first. There we go. Kent State versus Ohio. A 12 p.m. kickoff.
ET.
63.5 points over under. I am taking the over that one.
Love that pick.
Wisconsin,
did you just do your own theme music?
Yeah, I did. Wisconsin versus Illinois. Oh, that vantage defense of Wisconsin goes against the Illini of Illinois. 50.5 points. I am going the under in this one. It's going to be cold in Illinois.
Also love that
it
pick.
It might snow. Sleep, everything else.
In
Nevada versus Utah State.
Nevada.
Whichever one you
Nevada,
want.
Nevada, I think.
Utah State. 59 points, the over-under. Okay. And I am going, based upon what Nevada did last week, scoring 38 points versus Vandy, somewhere around there.
That was not who played Vandy, but it's okay.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't who you played Vandy. You're right.
Another bad MAC Mountain West team.
Exactly. I am going the under on this one.
Under. Right.
Nevada, Utah State.
UNLV scored 34
points. Yeah, UNLV, that's what it was, not Nevada, UNLV. Okay. Okay, I am going.
Reno, one's in Vegas. Come on, dude.
I'm going to go to a real game right now. I'm going to a real game, all right? And not Vandy in Missouri because.
That's not a real game.
It's not a real game, okay? I am going Michigan Penn State.
Whoa. This is a real football game here.
Happy Valley, a whiteout, baby.
Love it.
James Franklin, 47 points over under on this one.
47.
I'm going the over on this one, man.
Wow.
I'm going the over on this one.
So
I am going the over on this one.
Two of the best defenses in the country.
Yeah, I'm going the over on this. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. I think there's going to be at least,
17-13 Penn State wins.
Nah. I think it's going
Nick
to
Nick just
be
pointed
over.
At me. I want the record to show that Nick
so
pointed
that's
at me.
Over. And then here,
that's confirmation.
For those that, I'm going to throw this out here. This is my pick of the day.
Oh, lock of the week.
Lock of the week. Okay. I'm going to throw this out for people. Just a little teaser. If you want a little something on the side.
I'm aroused.
If you want to throw a little shekels on the side, here's your pick. Air Force versus Hawaii. Okay? 66.5 points. Do I like the number 66? Not really.
66.5.
Yeah. But knowing Hawaii, and they like to score a lot of points, Air Force is going to try to run the ball down your throat. I'm going the over. On this one, 66.5. That's my pick of the week right there, people.
Name a coach or a player for Air Force or Hawaii.
Is Miles Davis still there?
The jazz musician?
Who's the old Hawaii coach that used to also coach the Falcons?
It was Miles.
It's June Jones.
June Jones, yeah.
June Jones.
Miles was the offensive coordinator for the Lions.
Norm Chow coached there for a while.
Norm Chow.
Nick Rolovich now doing a great job for Hawaii.
There you go.
All right, I'm in second place. Michigan +9 against Penn State. I think it's low scoring. Penn State wins. But two great defenses, too many points. Give me Michigan +9. I'm going Nick's alma mater here. The paper Mustangs. Temple? The paper Mustangs. SMU is not as good as their record indicates. Temple has been great against the number all year. Give me Temple plus +9. I'm going to go LSU lay the 17 against Mississippi State. Mississippi State's in deep trouble right now. I think LSU rolls big. And I will take the Louisville Cardinals, one of the most improved teams in all of America, 4-2 after being a dumpster fire last year, getting 24 points at home against Clemson. I think Clemson wins easy, but I think Louisville covers. The dogs have been barking for me, so I'm going to stick with mostly dogs this week, except for LSU minus 17.
Ah.
All right, BG, I'm with you as well. Give me Michigan plus the 9. Penn State only scored 17 at Iowa. I think you might actually have the score nailed to a T. I will take Michigan. I'll hold my nose. And if I'm wrong and Penn State covers, I'll just berate Jim Harbaugh on Twitter.
Yeah. Ah,
so it's really a
no-lose
situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me Oklahoma State minus the 3.5. I will take Washington at home plus 3 for the outright win. Over Oregon.
Oregon's playing real good ball right now.
That'll appease one of our big followers on Twitter, Bob, who just always tweets us about the Washington Huskies.
Bob Williams, shout out.
As if we care about Washington here in Nashville. And then I will also take South Carolina plus the 5.5. Not an outright win, but the Gators a little bit of a slump. They eke out a close one on the road.
Yeah, that's a fascinating football game. I really want to know emotionally and mentally where's Florida. After getting up to beat Auburn and getting up and losing to LSU, where are you on a road against South Carolina's defensive line? Yeah, like that's a fascinating psychological matchup between those two. I really like that. Really, outside of Michigan and Penn State, the big stuff in college football is in the Pac-12 this week. Arizona State at Utah and Oregon at Washington. All four of those teams have one loss, and all four of them think they can compete for a conference title, except for Washington. So the Pac-12 is sort of the big football this week. So.
Okay.
And they're on before Michigan, Penn State. They're on at like 2:30 and 5:30.
Yep.
Interesting.
Correct. NFL for me, give me the Seahawks against Baltimore minus 3.5. I will take the Colts at home minus 1 against the Texans. Give me the Lions ticked off for greatness after that Monday night debacle with the refs. Give me Detroit plus 1 against the Vikings.
Ooh.
And then I will go under 38.5. This is right for you, D-Mace, because I know you love totals. Under 38.5, Bears-Saints. That smells like a 13-10 game.
Oh, wow. You might be right on that one.
That's how Teddy's been playing.
That's correct. All right, that's it for us. Big Finish coming up next. Stay there.
We've had a big show.
Big show!
And now it's time for a Big Finish on Morning Drive.
That is correct. It is time for the Big Finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. And Braden Gall, the Big Finish, brought to you by
Nashville SC, Nashville Soccer Club. NashvilleSC.com is the website. Huge, huge game coming up this weekend. Last one of the regular season. Have a chance to win the Eastern Conference if they can pick up 3 points and get a little help. They got ATLUTD2. That's a stupid name for a soccer team.
What?
Atlanta United 2.
Letters.
But they make us say the other thing, so whatever. That game's coming up tomorrow night. Really, really cool chance to watch your team the last USL match in regular season history. NashvilleSC.com for season tickets, for MLS tickets for next year. Check out the website, NashvilleSC.com.
All right, Hollywood, let's get to the rewind. And we welcome you into a Friday edition of Morning Drive. We are live this morning from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel.
When I was growing up, you know, my brothers went off to college. The best thing, you know, the most favorite thing for me was to go visit my brothers in college.
Oh, I imagine.
You know, because they were, you know, 4 or 5 years older than me. When I go up there, you know, they're hanging with them.
You never did anything wrong.
Never
right?
did anything wrong. Hang right. with them. They always took care of me. So I felt like the big man on campus because I was a little brother, you know, and go up there with my brothers and, you know, we have a lot
That's
of fun.
That's where you
and,
learned everything.
And everything.
That's where
so,
you learned how to play the game.
Okay. Absolutely. Yes. Started at a young age. My son's a senior in high school. So, you know, my daughter. They are the best to each other. But my daughter wanted my son to come visit her at her college for a few days for their break. So, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. Her and her mom, cool. So he flies up there and he got to take the Uber.
The time of his life.
He got to take the Uber and everything else. So we got to kind of, you know, send us a Snapchat of the Uber.
Did you guys do the tracking thing on their phones?
Yeah. Well, not on the phone, just on the Uber thing.
Is it called Find My Friend or Find My Phone or whatever?
Yeah.
Find
My Phone or Find My Friend. But, you know, he sends us a screenshot of him getting in the Uber and then, you know, make sure to Uber everybody. So I call him. He's like in the back seat just chilling, you know.
Just take a picture when you pick up your
city.
Please send me a photo when you get your luggage. Please send me a photo when you get in the cab. Please send me a photo when you get out of the cab.
No, they don't take cabs, man. They take Ubers.
Oops, whatever. Ubers everywhere.
You know what? I feel for you, buddy.
For me?
You, yeah.
Yeah.
Why, oh, why is that?
When the girls go off to college...
What if they don't,
I'll be dead by
that. What if they don't go to the same place? Like, have you talked to your wife about this? Like, does Kristen want them to go to the same place? Or like,
no, we're just trying to get through the weekend.
Just trying to survive tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll worry about 2033 when we get there.
There's very few things I want to instill on my daughters very early in life, and that is making a sandwich is an art form. And if you're going to make a sandwich, you need to take pride in that sandwich. You need multiple layers of goodies on your sandwich. I take very delicate care when I'm at home making a sandwich. At least 6 or 7 items on a sandwich, ideally. I don't have that here. I'm playing a road game. But I got a...
But defense travels,
and I've got... But what I've got here...
Would that be considered defense if you're making a sandwich? That would be more so offense, right?
Yeah, probably, maybe.
Yeah.
His heart's playing defense right now. You're going to see the opening drive. I'm going on the record right now. So, Marquise, mark the tape, 7:23 a.m. I know we don't use tape and radio anymore, but mark the tape anyway. Tannehill will have an opening drive where he'll go 7, 8 yards, 72 yards, touchdown. Twitter's going to explode. Then the reality's going to set in. The energy's going to wear off, and he's going to get sacked 5 times. But let's welcome in our pal Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville.
Last week was really good for Tennessee against Mississippi State with 10 tackles for loss, 7 sacks, 6 of those guys, 6 of those sacks from guys up front on the defensive line. That was an incredible improvement from the week before when Tennessee did not register a quarterback hurry against Georgia. So if Tennessee can create a little more pressure, can get into the offensive backfield against Alabama more than maybe we expect, that's a good sign of progress over the last couple of weeks where Tennessee was against another high-level team. That could be a good sign for what Tennessee could do next week against South Carolina and moving forward the rest of the year.
Derek's actually rocking a different winter hat today.
But it's not really serving a purpose. It's not really
it
on your head.
It just sits on my head. It
barely does.
Yeah, my kids bought me this hat 2-3 years ago for Christmas.
But it looks like you've got like a Rasta underneath
there. Yeah, they said, Dad, this is how you got to wear it. Like,
okay.
It's a fashion thing.
Yeah, I don't have any hair. I don't have any dreadlocks or anything, so... I can't.
Well, I've always said that if I was a brother, I would have dreads.
Would you?
Yeah. I love the look. As we welcome in our pal Teron Davenport.
I like the matchup in favor of the Chargers, to be honest with you. And they're just going to have to do the best that they can. I think they're going to need to throw at Bosa and Ingram. And when I say throw, I mean cut block. They're going to have to do that as well because those guys, man, they bring it 24/7. So it's going to be a big-time test for LaJuan and Kong.
How about Myles Garrett, man, getting punched in the face by a fan?
But, see, here's the thing. If Myles Garrett would have been within his right to take whoever that little scoundrel was, grab him by the neck, and just throat slam him on the ground, and he would have been within his right. But then everybody would have said, well, why did you do it? You could have just walked away. Like, seriously? No.
It's also okay to teach young people to walk away.
No. Somebody punched me in my face, I'm body slamming them.
Marquise, how much would it cost for you to walk up to Derek Mason as he's pulling out of the parking lot, ask him to roll down his window and punch him in the face?
Why would I want to punch a head coach? Man, come on, man. I know he's losing games, man, but why I got to punch him in the face, Braden? What's wrong with you, man?
Oh, my goodness.
He was talking about me.
D-Mish, roll your window down. You forgot your Cool Springs MD copy, and then boom.
here's some new talking points.
Hey, D-Mish, I got some Doritos for you. He rolls down the window. Pow. You punch him right in his mouth.
I want to dance with somebody.
We just want to talk sports with somebody.
I want to feel the heat with somebody.
You're going to get the heat.
Yeah, I want to dance with somebody.
Monday through Friday.
With somebody.
I miss you already.
Who loves me.
6 to 10 a.m.
Bye-bye. See you.
Yeah, wow.
We're talking about our audience.
Yeah. Yes. Waving as they walk.
Voice. Radio
yeah.
show.
Okay. Yeah.
Tell you what, man. The next time we do an upgrade to the Game Nashville Studios, and it includes more windows... You think the attention span on this show is minimal now? You ain't seen nothing yet, bro.
Salt life, y'all.
Salt life. Salt life.
And that is the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. It is a part of the Big Finish each and every day at 9:45. Salt life, man. It's all about that salt life.
Salt life,
but don't use too much salt on your food because you might have
high blood pressure.
No salt.
High blood pressure.
No salt.
Yeah. Then your wrists swell up.
Your wrists? Yeah. Just your wrists? What about your feet and your fingers?
Your fingers.
I can always tell if I've eaten like a really salty meal, I can't get my wedding ring off. I gotta stop eating.
Cut down on salt.
I gotta stop eating at my mother-in-law's house.
Quickly before we get out of here, does anybody want to go on record on anything? Vandy, Vols, Titans this weekend.
Vols win outright. Vandy wins outright. Ryan Tannehill throws 5 touchdowns.
Better chance to cover. Vandy getting 21 or Tennessee getting 35?
Tennessee.
Vandy getting 21.
I think Missouri's really good, so I think. I think Vandy's in trouble, but Tennessee's in deep trouble too.
All right, Monday's headline will be what when it comes to Ryan Tannehill of the Titans?
Oh, I don't know about Tannehill. I think
same story, different.
The headline for me will be the defense plays incredibly well and gives them a chance to win, and maybe they figure out a way to do that with Ryan Tannehill. Maybe a backup quarterback. Maybe not. I don't know. That's pretty definitive stuff there.
Yeah, I don't know what the headline. Hopefully, the headline reads Titans win.
17-16, Chargers.
Wow.
God, that would be painful.
Yep, 17-16.
They go for two on the final possession like last year, and Ryan Tannehill throws a
slant pass. I think it's 21. I think whoever wins will score 24 points.
That's an interesting prediction.
Yeah, whoever wins scores 24
points. I can't see either one getting to 24.
Titans
defense is too good, and the Titans offense is too bad.
So do you?
I think this game's played in the teens.
All right.
Yeah, I can see it.
Here's another prediction.
Uh-huh.
We will see Derrick Henry in the Wildcat on Sunday.
That I like.
Yeah, I think you will.
That I like. I like that a lot.
All right, that's it for us. Darren, Donick, and Chase are coming up next. Have a great rest of your Friday. Enjoy your football weekend. Hopefully somebody in this city or in this state will get a win, and we will talk to you Monday. As Jared Stillman once said, as he's imitating our Renthal James Simpson on social media, take care.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, have a wonderful week, and I love you.